The Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, and Connor Newt here with you today. So we talked a lot about the tush push. We talked a lot about the playoff seeding. But one thing that we have not discussed that came out of the NFL this week, Derek, is that team owners unanimously voted to allow league players to participate in Olympic flag football in the 2028 games in Los Angeles. Now, there are some loose ends that still need to be tied up before participation is confirmed. Field quality, insurance policies, how injuries would affect a player's salary cap hit, all of those things. But the NFL, again, unanimously voted to allow its players to participate in Olympic flag football. Now, and I say this, this is not meant to be disparaging, but I'm just trying to be honest. Flag football isn't real football. So it's not as easy as copying and pasting the latest all-pro team onto a roster and calling it a day.
No.
There are other factors that have to be determined when you're creating a team. And by the way, here are some of the rules. Only one player on each NFL roster can try out for a given country's Olympic team. That means multiple players on the same NFL team could compete as long as they represent different countries. And since players added via the International Player Pathway Program don't count toward a roster spot, they'll also be allowed to try out. But again, this is not real football. The field for flag football, excluding the end zones, is 50 by 25. Mm-hmm. So it's a different field. The size of the field is significantly different. There are five players on each side on the field at any given time. The traditional offensive alignment is 5-on-5. So it's a quarterback, a center, and three receivers. The center has to snap the ball at the start of each play, but he's free to release on a route after snapping the ball. The other four players on offense can be moved around. One of the receivers can line up as a running back. A team could have two quarterbacks line up to confuse the defense, and so on. On defense, there are two primary positions, pass rushers and defensive backs. There can only be a maximum of two rushers on any given play. They have to line up at least 7 yards off the line of scrimmage and identify themselves before the snap. So there are a lot of NFL players who have already expressed interest in being part of this event. And I'm sure the NFL loves this idea. The NFL and the Olympics can use each other to achieve their expansion goals by having NFL players participate in flag football. And I know some of you might be out there going, psh, I'm not going to watch NFL players play flag football. You're lying to yourselves. You're absolutely going to watch it if it happens. It may not be for the diehard football fan, but you're going to watch it. I love Olympic hockey. You saw how awesome the Four Nations Face-Off tournament was halfway through the NHL season. There were, I don't remember exactly how many Olympic games there were without NHL player participation. I wasn't that interested in watching Olympic hockey when there weren't NHL players there. It didn't grab me in the same way. So you may brush this off and say, I don't care. Curiosity will absolutely grab you if NFL players are playing. But this is the question that I have for Derek.
Okay.
How well do you think NFL skills will translate to Olympic flag football?
Okay. Listen, you know, initial thought is, it will not, because you got a bunch of fast players out there and, you know, guys that know how to catch the football and all this other stuff. They're pros. They're all pros. They should dominate. But then as you start to look more into the flag football world and you start to look at some of the rules and you start to look at the size of the field from the width to the length, you start to understand it may not be as simple as what I may have initially thought. Because I started to go back and look at some of the rules of flag football. Now, just like basketball, we don't know if they will come together and get international rules or will they play by the NFL professional rules. More than likely, it will be the national. They will get a national, like a universal rule. You know, the international rules. They'll probably get an international rule where everybody, so it could be more of a level playing field in a sense. But here is one rule from the NFL, and I'm just reading this, and I'm sure it's updated. I'm on the website of the NFLflag.com, which is their professional flag league. And I notice that on one of the diagrams that they've taken a picture of the field, I noticed that there are zones on the field, and they are labeled no running zones. No running zone. So I think it's 5 yards from the 5 yard line in on both ends and the middle of the field, like five on one side. So we're talking about 45 to 45.
The offense starts every possession from its own 5 yard line, mm-hmm. even following turnovers, and has 4 downs to make it past midfield. If that happens, the offense gets 4 more downs to find the end zone. The player who receives the snap,
this
whether
is
it's
crucial.
A quarterback or a skill player, cannot cross
that,
the line of scrimmage.
That right there was the rule I was looking at. Because everybody thinks we can throw Lamar Jackson back there.
Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes.
They can't catch this guy. Look at him. But then as you start to look into the rules, once you catch the ball, you are the initial guy. And I know there's probably, you know, he can throw it behind him and then that guy can sort of run. I get all that, possibly, but I need to look more so into the rules in regard to that. But Lamar Jackson, once he catches the football, he cannot run. He cannot cross the line of scrimmage. He has to throw. And then in certain areas of the field, you can't run the ball in. It has to be thrown into the end zone.
Right. The quarterback is allowed to hand the ball off to a teammate for a run play in the open field, but it's pass only once the offense gets to the opponent's 5 yard line.
Exactly. So it neutralizes some of the things that we probably thought were just going to be, you know, it's going to be a part of it.
Right.
So they're
like,
really going to
just
dominate.
Throw Lamar Jackson and Justin Jefferson.
Exactly.
And Patrick Mahomes and Jahmyr Gibbs. Just throw them all out there and they're just going to run past these guys.
And there's no blocking, people.
There's no offensive line.
Yeah, there's no blocking. So when you got to get up the field, you got to get the yardage basically on your own. So, again, I know that a lot of these guys, probably 90% of these guys are going to be the prowess, the athletic prowess is going to be evident. But it doesn't mean that they're going to dominate. You know? That's why, after a while, the U.S. said, you know what, we're going to stop all of this. We're going to have NBA players playing. We're going to have, you know, professional hockey players playing for the U.S. Forget all of this, because after a while, you start to find out the talent pool has started to get a lot better on the other side.
Right, and there are nuances. There are differences between NBA basketball and Olympic basketball. Correct me if I'm wrong. In Olympic basketball, you can goaltend. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can't do that in the NBA. But generally speaking, the rules are the same.
Exactly.
So you can throw out Steph Curry and LeBron James and the rest of the top players in the NBA, the game's the same. There was a time in Olympic hockey where the rink was a little bit wider. Mm-hmm. I believe now that they use the NHL-sized rink. Mm-hmm. But the rink was wider. But the rules are basically the same. Mm-hmm. There are, again, some nuances, some changes to the rules, but the game is effectively the same. This is not that.
Yes.
They're not playing NFL football when you play flag football.
No, you're not playing the NFL rules other than throw and catch and hike the football. So you have to – I think it's not people – I think sometimes that's the arrogance of us. And I blame myself too, that we just think, you know what? We're just going to be able to throw our players out there just because they play in the NFL. They're going to be all right. Yeah, they may be all right that first year. Pray to God nobody gets injured. But they may be all right that first year. But teams will start to figure it out and adjust. Or they may not be all right that first year. Why? Because now they're adjusting to a whole new world of football. Again, this is not international basketball or hockey. You know, this is something totally different now. Adam said the fields are condensed.
There 50 are by 25, yeah, excluding the end zones.
There are areas that you can throw that you can't run. I would be more inclined to take Arena League guys before I take NFL guys.
That's interesting.
Because at least they are used to the size of the field and the space and everything else. So I would be looking to go get some of those guys as well, because at least they help the other guys sort of figure it out and navigate through it. You have someone that played in that league, that played in that, in sort of those confinements, meaning the field shorter, and it's not
Arena Football League fields are 85 by 50, 85 feet wide, yeah, 50 yards long.
So it's still more of a condensed version of the NFL is in regards to the field wise. So they know how to operate in a tighter space, so to speak. But don't just think because, you know, we are the superior rulers of all football, American football, all football, that, oh, we're just going to be able to get Lamar, Justin Jefferson, and Tyreek Hill and go out there and we'll be fine. We're going to blow everybody out. That may not be the case if these guys don't adapt to the size of the field and, more importantly, the rules of the game.
Now, keep that all in mind as you listen to this clip that's been circulating around from Daryl Hoosh Doucette, who is he's an accomplished flag football quarterback. And he did an interview with TMZ Sports. And here is the section of the interview that went around.
Of course, we're not hiding from the competition. I'm not hiding from the competition, and none of my teammates nor anybody else in the flag football world are hiding from the competition. I've played against current players. I played against retired players. Whatever it takes, they put their pants on. They tie their shoes the same way I do mine. At the end of the day, we are all men, so we welcome competition. But I'm not necessarily speaking about myself being the quarterback or trying to compete against Patrick Mahomes or anything like that. At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
So he may absolutely want to say hello to my man, Jeff Fisher. He's in the building.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Coach
Good
Fish.
Good to see you.
You brought us some hats, Fish.
Nashville Cats.
Nashville Cats hat. I like it. But no, just think about what he said.
Right, because people heard this and they're like, who is Daryl Doucette? And he thinks he's better than Patrick Mahomes?
And this is why
Derek. Yeah. Just keep in mind what we were talking about before we played that clip about the nuances and the differences in flag football. He is a veteran flag football quarterback.
Exactly. So, people, that's why I say just listen to people. Don't make up your mind. Just listen to everything that someone says, and then you'll be able to better understand what they're trying to say. He said he's better than Patrick Mahomes because of his IQ in the sport of flag football.
Right, that part was missing.
Yes.
I think people took that as, I'm better than Patrick Mahomes. What I think he meant to say was, I'm better than Patrick Mahomes at the sport of flag football.
Exactly, because he's been in it long enough, and he knows the intricacies of the sports. He knows the rules and how to navigate and how to manipulate it. Patrick Mahomes will never know that. You know why? Because that's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not getting paid $80 million a season to play flag football and to know rules in and out for flag football. So when he says that, I believe him. And I have no pushback when he says that. The individual, what was his name again, Adam?
Daryl Hoosh Doucette.
Daryl Hoosh Doucette.
Yes.
I believe him. I do. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I believe him because of the keyword, that keyword, his IQ in that sport. He didn't say his football IQ, period. He said his IQ in that sport. And I believe him. And until Patrick Mahomes plays that sport 3, 4, 5, 6 years, then I change my thought on it. But going into it, yes, I would tend to believe he would be the better player in that sport because he understands the sport. And the field is condensed. So Just because Patrick Mahomes can throw the ball 100 yards, they ain't 100 yards on the field. Because he can run, you know, a 4, just because Jackson can run a 4-3 and run it from everybody, he can't run if he touches the ball behind the line of scrimmage. So that neutralizes that option. And you're going to use him more as a quarterback than you would as a receiver.
That interview, by the way, was from last August. Yes. It's resurfaced, however, now that the NFL has approved.
So I believe him. I truly do.
I'm looking up Daryl Doucette's accomplishments. He and his U.S. teammates, this is from last summer, are set to defend their title at the 2024 International Federation of American Football Flag Football World Championships. That's a mouthful.
American Football Flag Football.
He started playing flag football in the Xavier University Intramural League. Since then, he has become one of the biggest names in the sport. After leading the U.S. to the title at the most recent IFAF World Championships, Doucette was named the MVP of the 2023 America's Continental Championship leading Team USA to a 7-0 record at the event.
Right there. This man has already had his accomplishments. It's not like this is some some lower level dude, like just somebody that just picked up a flag and put it on his hip and said I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because he played in the backyard or played a video game. No, this is a guy that has accomplished a lot in this sport. He was the MVP of everybody during that playoff and that championship run. So I'm not dismissing anything he says when he comes out and say, I believe I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because, here's the key word, because of my IQ in this sport, flag football. He didn't say football in general. He didn't say the NFL. He said in this sport, people listen to words. So I believe him wholeheartedly.
One texter says, that flag football quarterback doesn't realize he's playing rec league compared to NFL, but he needs to take a seat and realize he wouldn't make it in the NFL, but Mahomes would easily dominate flag football.
He's not talking. See, that's the arrogance. He's not talking about him going to the NFL. That's not what he's talking about. And how are you going to say have you watched the league? Have you watched what been doing?
Do I believe that Patrick Mahomes could easily pick up the sport of flag football and be really good at it? Absolutely. But Doucette has the sweat equity, as you like to mention, Derek. He's played the sport. He understands the game, to use that term again, the nuances of the game. That doesn't mean that Patrick Mahomes, as talented as he is, couldn't just say, all right, what do I have to do? Okay, got it. Done. I totally could see it.
This is arrogance of people. And that's the part that we got to sort of get away from. It's just like, why do you think when rookies come into the NFL, there's like this learning curve? Why? Because every rookie can't come in from college and say automatically, oh, I'm a dominate because I've been playing. No, it's a process. You don't know this game on this level the way I do. You know, if you did, you would cut me. There would be more guys that end up upseating veteran guys very quickly. But that's not the case. The college game isn't like the pro game, so there's an adjustment. There's some development. Listen to me when I'm telling you this. So when this guy says this about his sport, I tend to believe him. But why? Because there's a development within the sport mentally. It ain't all about your physical tools. It's about, at least from the quarterback position, knowing this particular game, not the game of football, knowing the rules in and out, how I can manipulate it a little bit. You know, I'm the bigger draw. You know, maybe I'm going to get a call that Patrick ain't going to get in this sport because people look at me a certain way. All of this stuff factors into what he's saying in his sport on his level.
Right.
He's not saying he's playing in the NFL.
Right, like I'm thinking of the original XFL. Mm-hmm. He hate me. Rod Smart. Rod Smart was the best player in the XFL, short-lived as it was. Mm-hmm. And he went to the NFL, right?
Yeah.
He played for the I remember him playing for the Panthers.
He played for the Panthers, I know that.
So I'm, you know, and he didn't have a storied career in the NFL. He barely made a dent in the NFL. And I can imagine I don't pretend that flag football players could become NFL players. Again, it's a different sport. Mm-hmm. What Derek is saying, and I largely agree with him, is that it's not as simple as saying, Well, Justin Jefferson wants to play flag football, so he is going to be excellent at it immediately because he's Justin Jefferson. There's going to, like, could he adjust and become great on it? Absolutely. But I don't think it's as easy as I said. Taking last season's all-pro roster, copying and pasting it onto the flag football field. I don't think it works like that.
It's going to be, and then the route concepts, all these, everything has to just be redesigned and reformatted. And the way they think about the NFL game, it almost has to be turned upside down in a sense, because now you got to take some of those rules that you applied in the NFL, and now it's almost like you got to turn half of that stuff off. You got to flip it over or flip it on its side and turn half of it off because it doesn't apply to the sport that you're playing now. I don't understand why people, and I get it. I get it. Maybe if I was a little bit younger, I would be like a lot of people that just think Patrick Mahomes can get on the field and do it. If I was still playing, I'd probably think, "Oh, I can do it." You know, it could be good. Why? Because that would be the arrogance to me, saying I play in the NFL, so I can go in that league and I can dominate. Why do you think a lot of NFLers didn't go to the arena league? Because it's hard to adapt to that league, and guys just can't do it. There's only a few that can play in that league. You know, so it's the same with the NFL flag. If I was in my 20s and they asked me this question, I would probably say I can play in that league because my not only just the sort of the superiority-ness that I believe that I would have had or that proudness that I would have had over those that are playing flag football, but then it's just the arrogance. Like, how dare you say I can't go to the flag football and dominate? Well, Derek, have you looked at the rules? Have you paid attention? Oh, no, I haven't. So now I understand it being 51 years old.
615-737-1025. Will NFL skills translate to the Olympic flag football field? 615-737-1025. But coming up next, it's time to ask D-Mace. You can ask him about flag football, but you can also ask him about whatever else is on your mind. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Let me tell all the fine folks out there, Jeff Fisher did stop by during the segment, so let me tell you to tune in to Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Oregon Lightning. Pregame begins at 4:30 and kickoff is at 5, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes! 80 yards for the touchdown!
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now,
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time to ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Mingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. One texter says about the flag football conversation. This has already been done. They had ex-NFL players create their own teams, and then they had another tournament going on at the same time that had flag football teams play. And the champions of each got to play the NFL, and the champions of each got to play the NFL team for $1 million, and Hoosh's team completely dominated, which is true. In 2018, Doucette played on the Fighting Cancer team in the American Flag Football League, which won a $1 million prize in the championship game, defeating another flag football team featuring former NFL players. And that team included Seneca Wallace at quarterback, Javid Best at running back, and former Titans wideout Lavelle Hawkins.
Oh, Lavelle Hawkins. Oh, good. Okay. Well, listen, I'm sure, what was that, 2018. So obviously there has been some, I'm sure there has been some development in those guys regarding their thing. But my thing is, you just can't just arrogantly, well, you can, but I'm just not going to arrogantly think that, they're just going to come in and dominate. I haven't seen, because this is not, the NFL guys versus the flag football guys. I'm sure, again, we got to know the rules of this game before we start talking about dominating. Because once the rules change, and I'm talking about international rules, I'm not even talking about, you know, the NFL flag football rules or the U.S. flag football rules, because I think they're different depending on, you know, what sort of league, not league, but, I guess it would be league that you're playing, and I guess they're not all the same in regards to all the rules. But, it's not just these guys you're competing against everybody, and then you're competing against them in the rules that they set up. Because best believe they're going to set up rules that are going to take away a lot of strengths that the U.S. have. Why? Because internationally they're thinking they are the more superior athlete in that particular sport. So they're going to try to make the rules so it becomes a more even playing field. Now, I get it. Some countries just don't play flag football, and they're going to try to play flag football, and it ain't going to work. We saw that with the whole breakdance and stuff. I mean,
oh, man.
That's why they're getting that out of there, because some countries just, you ain't got no dancers.
What was so that Australian? Ray Gunn?
Yeah.
Ray Gunn, the Australian breakdancer?
Exactly. So you ain't got no breakdancers, so don't be trying to get into the event. But best believe that they will design rules to try to make it a more competitive field of play when you start talking about the Olympics.
So according to Anscape, Daryl Hoosh Doucette, after making that comment last summer about Patrick Mahomes that we played earlier in the show, he helped lead Team USA to gold at the, this is a mouthful, the International Federation of American Football Flag Football World Championships. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the competition in the movie Dodgeball. According to USA Football, Doucette completed 71 of 91 pass attempts for 1,069 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, and no interceptions in seven games at the World Championships. He also ran five times for 88 yards and two touchdowns and caught a 12-yard touchdown on defense. He recorded an interception.
Oh, man. You know, for a second there, I thought it was in one game. I'm about to say, what the hell was he doing? What were they doing?
I don't know what the average number of pass attempts in the flag football game is, but that was over the course of seven games, I believe.
And you know, there are a lot of things that I would need to know. And again, you're only going to have so many weeks to prepare for this league. All while trying to prepare for what? Camp. That's what people don't understand, too. All of this is going to be going on right around as camp is getting ready to start. So Lamar Jackson ain't playing. If he hadn't won a Super Bowl by then, he ain't playing. Best believe, he's not. The Baltimore Ravens will, no, you're not putting my quarterback. And I'm not sure how many GMs will put their starting quarterback out there.
Well, that's another question that we received on our text line. Would a multi-million-dollar NFL athlete want to risk their career over a flag football injury?
I'm telling you, I wouldn't. Because you twist now, if I am the NFL, my thing is, you want to go play in that league, we're not covering anything. Nothing.
Well, if I recall correctly, this was a major sticking point in the NHL leaving the Olympic Games for however many years it did.
Because of insurance?
Right, because I believe they wanted the International Olympic Committee to cover the insurance. The NHL teams did not want to cover the insurance. I think that's right. I'll have to double check.
And you know how much that insurance would be for an NFL player? Oh, it'd be a lot of money. A lot. So again, how does that, and I'm sure there are a bunch of smart people in that room, but just because you're smart don't mean you're going to come up with a decision or something to make everything perfect. I know you're not, it happens all the time. You're not going to come up with a solution that's going to be 100% foolproof. But you have to factor in all of this stuff, like insurance on a player. You got Jefferson makes $40 million a year. Patrick Mahomes makes $50-60 million a year. You're talking about guys that are making All the guys that we'll be playing will be basically the highest paid player at their position. And that's only what, about, you're only going to have probably a roster of what, 12 people?
I believe a roster is 10. 10 and 5 can 10 play people. At a time.
So you're talking about, you know, insurance for the life. Patrick Mahomes' contract is worth $400 million. You got to insure, if he gets hurt, you're going to have to insure a lot of that. Lamar Jackson, insure a lot of that. Jefferson, insure a lot of that. So, and I'm sure they probably figured this all this stuff out. One, who pays the insurance, okay? And then two, if I am a owner, there is no way on God's green earth that I am putting my quarterback out there, my starting receiver out there, my starting running back out there, my starting defensive back that I'm paying 30. I am not putting him out. Go ahead and play if you want to. Play if you want to. But we're gonna talk to you and your representative to make sure you're not playing in this game.
So Dr. Robert Parisian, an orthopedic sports medicine surgeon from New York Mount Sinai Hospital Health System, co-authored a 2025 study analyzing 10 years of flag football injury data pulled from the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System. The study found 2,508 injuries attributed to flag football over that period that were serious enough to be presented in hospital emergency rooms, and it determined that the most common injuries for adults were to fingers, possibly as they extended to grab flags, as well as sprains and strains. Now, the doctor said, quote, there's certainly risk of injury in flag football, and that's sort of one of the misnomers, that flag football has a very low risk of injury to it. Head collisions and trauma may be less in flag football than in contact football, but it still occurs. You see some muscle strains, tendon strains, but it's really tough to extrapolate and see what a young NFL caliber athlete may experience, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, you got to factor in all this stuff. And listen, I know you can get hurt on the football field, but I'm paying you to be on that football field, and I hope you don't get hurt. I'm not paying you to be on a flag football team. That's not what your contract has inside of it. And a lot of these contracts have, you can't do these extracurricular things, because if you do it and you get hurt, any injury, that can nullify your contract. So, people, we got to think about all this stuff. And I know the NFL voted on it, so they'll find a way to finagle their way, or they in their mind, or we'll worry about that. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We got 3 years to figure it out. Well, okay, put Lamar Jackson out there if he ain't won a Super Bowl. Put Josh Allen out there if he ain't won a Super Bowl. Put some of these guys out here when your team has been struggling and you want to throw your marquee guy out there. Watch how your fan base turn against you if something happens to that guy. You got to think about all this stuff. And just because there's money involved and just because there's more of a visibility or footprint internationally, again, this tells me right here, man, I'm glad as I talk through things sometimes, it just comes to me. This right here tells me they don't care about the player. They don't care about the player and his health whatsoever. If they will allow their guys, as physical as this sport is, and I know people look at it and say, well, hockey players do it too, and da, da, da. I get all that. It's only 4 years. I understand that. But there's a reason, man. There's a reason why in contracts they don't want you to ride motorcycles or jet ski or do all this other stuff. There's reasons why. And the injury risk may be low in those particular extracurricular events. But if there's a chance you can get hurt, don't get on it. That's what they tell you. It's inside your contract. So I look at this, and if I'm – ain't no way in hell I want Cam Ward out there. I know you want your footprint internationally. I get it. You're still going to get your footprint internationally because football is second behind only soccer.
And how many international games are they playing this year? And how many different countries? 5?
Exactly. So you're getting your footprint. You're right. Getting it. So to me, do you actually care about the player's health? Or do you just care about more money and more footprint?
615-737-1025. We will continue Ask D-Mace coming up next. So if you want to get in on it, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Derek May.
D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's Ask D-Mace time, so call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Eric has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, Eric, how are you?
What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing just fantastic, guys. I've got a dad joke and also had to ask D-Mace questions, but a couple things quickly. First of all, hope everybody out there and you guys as well have a happy Memorial Day weekend. Also, won't have rain like they're talking about for the next 3 days. I'm liking the cooler weather. I wish it could stay like this for the summer, but I know that's not going to be possible. The other thing is, guys, I did do my job interview last week, but here's the thing. There was some sort of misunderstanding or confusion about it, so I got another reschedule next week at 11 o'clock, and hopefully it'll go well. It's just it's too long to get into, but I just wish me luck.
Good luck, Eric.
Good luck.
Okay. So, guys, my dad joke, and I'll admit it off the top, it may be a little bit of a groaner. It's one I heard recently, but I hope you like it. It may get the prices right, so here goes. What is a cat's favorite Mexican food?
A cat's favorite Mexican food. What do you think, Derek?
Man, I don't know.
You give up?
Yes.
A burrito.
I'll give you the cheap laugh on that one, Eric. That's not as bad as you made it out to be.
Well, okay. So here's my D-Mace question. Guys, you talked about this earlier, and that's, of course, the tush push and everything. And the Eagles, I got to give them credit. They're definitely trolling the fans with the picture of being passed with them against the Packers. And now you probably heard they made T-shirts out of the tush push and everything like that. They're making money off of them, which I give credit for. But one of the things is they talked about the 10 teams that voted against it, and one of the teams, of course, was the Baltimore Ravens. And somebody brought up a point, and I agree with this. Why don't they try the tush-push? You know, you would figure with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and the offensive line that they'd be able to do something about that with Tom Elfin and their creative offense. Because I think right now just Buffalo and, of course, the Eagles use it. But why don't you think that a team like Baltimore wouldn't be able to use something like the tush-push? Guys, it's always good to talk to you guys. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Eric. And I want to add a question to Eric's question. So you can answer his question about the Ravens. I want to ask you about something that Jared said yesterday.
Okay.
Because Jared said he was shocked that the Titans were among the 10 teams who voted against banning the tush push. But he wonders if it's because the Titans think they can make the tush push work with Cam Ward. So why don't you answer those two questions?
Why other teams are choosing not to use it.
So Eric was asking you specifically about the Ravens. And if you think that the Ravens could implement the tush push.
I don't think the Ravens feel they have to. I think
they've got
Derrick Henry. Yeah, he's a tush pushing and
he's a walking tush push.
Exactly. So he doesn't need, you know, the extra guys pushing him. And then, you know, I don't think Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, they all are built different. Lamar is more a slender guy, doesn't pack a lot of, you know, sort of like, you know, lower body strength the way, you know, we've seen Jalen Hurts. He squats about 1 million pounds. And then Josh is just a much bigger and physically imposing guy. So they can run it with both of those guys because now they sort of perfected it. Lamar is a little bit like I wouldn't even want to put him in that situation to where he has to run it. That's why we got Derrick Henry. That's why you saw in the playoffs, Andrews did it. Instead of Lamar Jackson, Andrew is the guy that came in motion and got underneath center and did their version of the tush push. They don't want Lamar Jackson anywhere a part of that. So that's why they are choosing not to run it, I believe. Now, I think the Titans just – I don't think to them the Titans think – they probably didn't care if it got passed or it didn't. I think that's how they approached it. Because in their minds, they feel they can run it, but will they run it? You know, so I guess they're the way they voted on it was based upon that, I believe. I don't think they care really one way or another.
But do you think Cam Ward would be a prime candidate for a tush push?
I don't know, because, listen, you got to learn. I think the tush push is an art. You have to learn how to, because if you did, if it was just something you go up there and do, and all teams would be doing it, and then the NFL would be like, okay, let's stop this. But I think it's an art to running this play, and I'm not sure that the Titans want to put Cam Ward in that situation right now, because again, no one's gotten hurt, and I pray no one gets hurt, but. Will they ever run it? Yeah, they may run it, but I don't think that's, you know, I don't think they voted I don't think because of the way they voted, it was because of where, you know, we are vehemently like opposed or whatnot to it.
One texter says, Adam, I want you to read this dad joke to Derek. Before you go in the bathroom, you're American. What are you while you're in the bathroom?
An American?
European.
I like that one. That should have been so obvious, though. But I like that one. Thank you for that one.
That was a good one. Unnamed texter. Sign yourself. To exactly. Sign your name on that one.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. One more. Talking about Olympic participation. D-Mace, if you could participate in an Olympic sport, which one would you choose, and do you think you could win gold in it?
Oh, man. I would say breakdancing, but my knees ain't that good yet.
How were you at breakdancing before?
I was good. Oh, back in the day when we had to bring the actual cardboard. What
I was about to say, did you have the cardboard box?
Yeah, we walked around with cardboard underneath our arms, man.
Did you have a bucket hat?
Yeah, I had a bucket hat. Had the Pumas.
Mm-hmm.
Boom fat box. Laces.
The boom box?
Yeah. I didn't have a boom box, but there was a boom box there. I had the fat laces. Y'all know about the colorful fat laces.
Remember the days when people used to walk around with boom boxes on their shoulders?
We walked around with boom boxes, not handguns, okay? That's what we walked around with, boom boxes, challenging each other to break dance, not challenging each other to fight. That's what we did back in the day. We looked for cardboard. No lie. We would go in the back of stores because a lot of stores, now they recycle. Back then, they just threw them in the trash can and stuff. I don't know if they recycled them or not, but it all got thrown away in the same pile. But we used to go, like, in the back of stores to get cardboard. We'd get about three sheets of cardboard, tape them together, and put them down. And we were breakdancing. So if my shoulders were still good, if my knees were good, yeah, that'd be a sport.
So what I've learned today is that Derek's childhood was basically the plot of Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly. Or Beat Street. Have you ever seen? Oh, Beat
no.
Street. Oh, Beat Street was the true breakdancing movie.
I'll put that on my list. Yes, by the way, that dad joke was courtesy of Al.
Hey,
Al,
thank
so
you,
thanks, Al.
Appreciate it, Al.
If you missed that, again, before you go in the bathroom, you're American. What are you while you're in the bathroom? European. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Paul Kaharsky and Robbie Stanley. I almost called him Robbie Rexroad because I'm used to saying Robbie and Rexroad. Paul Kaharsky and Robbie Stanley had an interesting conversation based on a comment from Jeff Darlington of ESPN about Cam Ward. And I would love to get Derek's thoughts on it, and we will do that next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.